Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I got to catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
She's going around the corner.
Come on.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
We should date.
What?
Date. I said we should date sometime, you know, socially. Go ahead, kick it.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
You're pretty sick, Chubb.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in our numero dos here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
We still got to dive into Antonio Brown being a weirdo. Can we talk about that today?
He's got a blonde mustache, man.
Excuse me, that's Mr. Big Chest.
Can we pull the Mr. Big Stuff song?
Does he know that he's forming into Big Papa Pump? You remember him?
I don't remember Big Papa Pump.
You don't remember Big Papa Pump?
No. Do I need to Google Big Papa Pump?
What was his name? I want to say it was Jeff Bagwell, but that's not right.
Big Papa Pump.
You'll see a picture of him and you'll go, oh, yeah.
Oh, that guy, the blonde guy, yeah. The wrestler. Yeah. The Big Papa Pump. Scott Steiner.
Scott Steiner. Thank you. I don't know why I kept thinking Jeff Bagwell for some reason, but yeah, Scott Steiner. That's who Antonio Brown's turning into, is Scott Steiner.
Who goes by the name of Big Chess? What is going through your mind, man?
I don't know what drugs he's doing, but they're having a lot of fun with him.
All the good ones, apparently.
I'll tell you that much. So we'll get to that. We got NFL True or False, by the way, at 1:30 as well. Let's start with the NBA All-Star festivities that were. I didn't expect a huge percentage of the listeners, like 90% of our listeners, say, yeah, I watched it all. I get it. It's not for everybody.
Right. It's a niche event. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, it's probably not for you.
I watched all of Saturday.
Okay.
I missed the beginning of the skills competition, but I saw the end of it. And then I saw the three-point contest. Lillard was disappointing in that. And
did he not have a good performance on Saturday?
I mean, he had okay, but he didn't advance.
Okay, did he beat Seth?
Seth, I think, had 15, and I think Lillard had 16.
Okay, so right around the
same
territory.
They were like one away from each other, and I can't remember who was in front of who. Ultimately, it didn't matter. Joe freaking Harris won it. Go Cougs. And then I watched most of the game on Sunday, but I had it on, did stuff, came back, watched it on and off. Lillard had 18 points. Helped lead the comeback for Team LeBron.
That was actually really cool to see him be in the game in the fourth, knocking down big shots.
He played with the final group. I mean, that's a pretty that's a lot of respect from Mike Malone, letting him go out there as one of the five last guys to play in the game, because that's closing time.
Well, and also, you're the first team All-NBA point guard. Like, at what point does the respect come with a label like that? Coming off the year he had last year, his numbers are the same this year. He's carrying this organization, I would argue, on his back. He deserves that moment. He is a bigger star. Like, there's, when you get the first couple of times, you get your taste of action, and then you go back to the bench. I understand that, but the guy's a four-time All-Star now, first team All-NBA. He deserves to be out there running with the guys at the end of the game.
Let's go real nerdy. He had the best plus minus of anybody.
You're damn right he did.
He was a plus 20. He had 18 points, and I enjoyed this, on 17 three-point attempts.
He took 17 shots.
He was 6 of 17.
I just saw most of the makes. I missed some of those early misses in, apparently.
Well, didn't Team LeBron shoot over 90 threes in the game?
Yeah, they were 35 of 90. They were 38% from the field. They set the All-Star record, which they'll break it next year because that's what the league is.
I will say, like, remember when Trey Wingo went on that rant about
the Super Bowl?
People complaining about the Super Bowl. I will copy his rant, though, because that was ridiculous. People aren't going to turn off this. It's the damn Super Bowl, so shut up, Trey.
Right.
I will take that argument, though, and apply it to the All-Star game. Like, if you watch the All-Star game and you complain, there's something wrong with you.
I agree. I retweeted somebody who said the same thing. It's like, do you want him trying and getting hurt? And
well, and if you don't like watching just athletic freaks, like, throwing alley-oops, like that Steph to Giannis alley-oop off the bounce was incredible. Guys pulling up from all over the place, like, you don't like watching that, then you can change it. You're not going to miss anything by turning that game off. It's an All-Star game.
Yeah, Simmons had a podcast, and he was like, I got to admit, I'm real disappointed. I thought they were going to try like they did last year, and I just thought, it's
what?
The All-Star game. The All-Star games, they don't try until the end.
No.
I mean, that's just what it is.
You get the final 2 minutes, yeah.
Dame gets 18. He's with the last group. KD goes for 31. He gets the MVP. I think if Dame makes two more shots, two more threes, I think he gets the MVP because he led the comeback.
Yeah, KD snakes his way in as always.
He got the post-game interview, though, Damian Lillard did with Kristen Ledlow. Here it was.
So where does your mind go when you know that hot hand is yours?
I mean, I think in a game like this, you know the floor is going to be open. You're going to get some good looks. It's just a matter of seeing one go in. I saw one go in early, and I was able to get hot.
Your team erased what was a 20-point deficit in that third quarter. What was the conversation like at halftime?
They were scoring too easy. You know, I know it's an all-star game, but we had to make them work a little bit more, make the quality of the shots go down. We did that. And because they had to work a little more, we got better shots. Klay hit a few, Brad hit a few, I hit a few. And this kind of game, you can erase those leads quick. So, I mean, that's what we did.
It's not your first time or your second time or even your third. This is your fourth time
not one,
playing
not
alongside
two.
The NBA's
thanks,
best,
Kristen.
Showcasing your talents at NBA All-Star Weekend. But what's going to mark this weekend in your memory?
I felt like I was more involved. I mean, it's my first time finishing the game. I actually finished the game. Just how much more comfortable I felt. In the past, I felt fine being here, but this time I just felt like I've been here a lot, and I felt kind of like a vet here, so I never forget that.
It also might mean that we're getting old.
I don't want to admit that.
Not one, not two,
not three.
Not three. Damn, would she have done that question if he had been there six times or
keep
seven?
Going all the way up?
Not one.
Not nine, not ten. That was really cool to see. Like, he didn't get the MVP award, but because I got home from calling the hockey game, there was about 5 minutes left. I turned it on. I was like, cool, there's a couple minutes left in the game. Saw him hit a couple of threes. And then for him to get, like, the immediate walk-off interview, I was surprised it happened. I figured they'd go grab LeBron or Steph or KD or anybody. I don't know, maybe Dame was just the only one they could snag and everybody else was talking to people, but them to grab Lillard right after the game and get the walk-off interview, that was an awesome moment.
Somebody says KD mentioned Klay and Brad, but not Dame when talking about the comeback, to which, KD, you're a moron. He was the one hitting threes and the bench was going nuts.
Yeah.
That was cool, though. I don't care about efficiency. I don't even honestly care about stats in the All-Star game. It is what it is. I'm with you, though. I watch it. One, it's just nice to have something like, I love the sport, obviously, but it's nice to have something on as an option watch on a Sunday night if there's nothing else you care about. If you don't care about hockey, if you don't care about college hoops at, you know, men or women, that's a good option to have. You get to see athleticism. You get to watch some of the guys show out. And I enjoy the last 4 or 5 minutes of those games because if it's close, they do start going at each other a little bit because they do want to get that win. But that was badass to see Dame get the post-game interview with Kristen Ledlow. He's never going to win the MVP, but I have to admit, of all the weird things that you could pull from the All-Star game that was, I know a lot of people here do not like him and they'll never like him. I'm actually starting to really enjoy the Dame-LaMarcus dynamic. Yeah, All-Star weekends.
That was an interesting note. They asked LA whose jersey he would jersey swap with if he could pick anybody in All-Star weekend, and he said Damian Lillard.
Yeah, and they did this, was it the first year he left or the second year he did? They had like a thing where they were doing things and they were being cordial and laughing and having a good time, and they did it again. LaMarcus may never come here, but I do think he's at least acknowledged that he was probably not mature enough to handle the Dame red carpet rollout like everybody else. I think that really took him aback, and that was not an easy thing to deal with in the moment. He left. He's had success, great success. They went to Western Conference Finals in San Antonio. But I think he acknowledges how great Dame is, how fun it is to play with him, and I think that's a cool dynamic. That's a cheesy thing I take away from All-Star Weekend is watching them still do some pick and rolls, pick and pops, watching LA say that about Dame. Watch them joke around pregame.
I'm with you on that. I saw, I think it was Pinwheel Empire had a tweet over the weekend kind of saying, this is an interesting thing. Should we forgive Aldridge?
We should have forgiven Aldridge a month after he left. Who cares?
You want to get the booze out of your system the first time he comes back? I'm all for that. Fan base has had that ability. And I probably would have booed him if I was at the game. But then you move on. I'm all for guys that are willing to kind of look at in hindsight and say, He's never going to admit that he made a mistake, but I think sometimes you can read between the lines of what Aldridge says, and it is kind of a mistake, he acknowledges, that he got caught up with the pettiness of Dame being the guy and them, you know, marketing around him, and he's just a more personable person.
It's called being a human, by the way.
Right, it never has anything to do with, like, a disrespect to the game. It just happens to do with LaMarcus is boring, his interviews are terrible, he's not very talkative. That's fine, you don't have to be, but you can't get petty and jealous when you have an energetic a guy that everybody wants to be around. And that's who Dame was the second he walked into the locker room, that he was the guy people wanted to interview. He was the guy that fans gravitated towards. He was the guy who was doing rap videos and YouTube videos. And he immediately was relatable within the fan base. It never meant that LaMarcus was disrespected. And I think we all, so often in life, can always think the grass is greener on the other side, as LaMarcus did. And as you mentioned, he's been to a conference final, so that's farther than he ever went in Portland. And who knows, probably farther than he ever would have been if he stayed in Portland.
Right.
But he went there thinking probably he was going to win championships and be a part of this dynasty, and now Kawhi Leonard's gone. He's looking at Dame and the player that he is, and he probably misses playing with him. So I'm with you. I thought that was a cool dynamic, and I'm well past the hating LaMarcus Aldridge stuff from leaving a free agency.
All right, we got more on Damian Lillard. We've got something from our Blazer insider, Jason Quick, that he said over the weekend. We're going to bring that to you next. And also, I have 2 cents to give on the slam dunk contest, which did not have great participants, but I just want to give my 2 cents on it, because I watched it and I walked away with a lot of people feeling one way about it, and I kept thinking about that all week. And I'll tell you what that is. We'll bring Dame and what he had to say over the weekend to you next on The Fan. All right. We have a lot to get to in this segment. We got NFL True or False coming up in 13 minutes. Now, the All-Star festivities in the weekend for the NBA. Again, I acknowledge more than half of the audience probably doesn't care about NBA All-Star weekend, and that's okay. But on the topic of the dunk contest, because I have seen this now over a long stretch, the dunk attempts, the numerous dunk attempts, you get like 4 or 5 before a guy makes it, right? And there's a lot that's build up and waiting.
By the way, I hit my Sprague in the line pick. Dude from OKC won.
You did.
Suck it. I didn't even watch and he won.
I actually lost a real bet on Dame to win the 3-point contest. That was stupid.
Did you really? You laid money on that, huh?
Not a lot. But yeah, it was a waste of money.
It goes back to your good odds conversation from Friday.
Yeah, right. They're not really good odds. Okay, so the contest wasn't great. The names weren't big.
Why is the dunk contest still the finale, and why is it not now the 3-point contest?
Amen to that.
The 100% entire with you. League is based around the 3-point shot.
I'm with you, but I think it's because it's such an athletic feat that I think people still the people in the NBA value it as the preemptive biggest thing we have going for the weekend. Now, that can change.
Mm-hmm.
It would change if the All-Stars participating would once again participate in the dunk contest the way they do the 3-point shootout.
I think next year's is going to be good. I think Diallo's coming back. He lost to Zion in a high school dunk contest 2 years ago. Yeah, Zion's probably going to do it.
I hope he's in it next year.
And if you can get LaVine or Gordon to do it, boy, you're setting up well, along with our boy Anthony Simons. Okay, so real quick, I want to get to the Dame stuff. Okay, so very quickly, my 2 cents. The dunk contest, it is lackluster because of the multiple missed attempts. The names aren't as big anymore. I get all that.
Sure.
I do think we need to step back for a quick second, though, and instead of just going, oh, I missed it 3 times. If you go watch, because I rewatched 2 dunk contests this weekend, go rewatch dunk contests from the late 80s and the 90s. And then ask yourself, could 90% of those participants do what we see these guys trying to do? And I think that's where I go, is it's not great. I prefer the 3-point contest. But watching Aaron Gordon jump so high that he can sit in the air with his legs extended, putting the ball under his butt and still dunk. Maybe Mike? Maybe? Dominique? Maybe? I mean, that is a stupid level of athleticism.
We're spoiled. That's all it is.
I think that's what it is. I think we are very spoiled, and now these guys are trying things that I sometimes try to mimic them in my living room, and I look stupid doing it.
A little kitty hoop in the basement.
I'm like, you did behind the legs 360 with the left, and...
You know, it's funny because I'm guilty of this. Like, to me, the dunk contest isn't appealing anymore because I feel like I've seen every dunk that could possibly be dunked.
I'm right there with you.
Are there any dunk creations out there? And now you got these weird props and guys are trying things that they can't accomplish on the first try, right? So it's all like there's a fatigue there. But I think it's just you have to be a fan of the sport, because as a baseball fan, I've seen every home run that could be hit. Like, there's nothing new and unique that happens in the home run derby.
Right.
But every year, I love watching it. It's the same thing every year. A bunch of guys hitting a bunch of home runs. There's nothing different. But it's funny that people make that argument quite often about the slam dunk contest, and I do agree with it. It's just we're spoiled as sports fans. We've seen too many freak athletes throw down crazy dunks, and there's nothing that wows us anymore, even though what they are doing, like 0.1% of the population could ever try and attempt.
Oh, my God. It's really ridiculous. Okay, so from the All-Star game came two big headlines. The first we will play, Damian Lillard was asked on the Chris Haynes podcast about his loyalty to Portland, why he hasn't demanded a trade or tried to go somewhere else where he could win a championship. He gives a long answer, but I think it was pretty insightful for who he is. So actually, it's not a long answer. It's 12 seconds, evidently. Here is Lillard's answer to Chris Haynes on his podcast.
Like I'm saying, I do want to win a championship, but it's other stuff that means more to me.
Got you. I understand.
It's almost like I'm not willing to sell myself out for that.
I hear you.
To, instead of impacting
I've
this.
Never heard you put it like that before.
And now that went on, I think, for probably another 30 seconds, but it's basically that summed it up, that he doesn't want to sell himself out yet again, committing himself to Portland. We've heard it again, and we hear it again. doesn't feel like he's going to want out anytime soon. We'll see what happens. Jason Quick, who is our Fan Blazer insider, he's on with Isaac Atsouk every Thursday at 5:30. He was on a podcast with our other boy, Mike Richmond, the Locked On Blazer podcast, and Richmond and him were talking back and forth about the scenario now that we're going in the second half. If they don't make it out of the first round, and this is what Quick thinks the summer is going to present if they don't get out of round one.
If they don't get out of the first round, two of three things are going to happen. Stotts is gone, Olshay's gone, and CJ McCollum is traded.
Yeah, I think that's
fair. Two or three or all three is going to
happen. The only way is if they're in like a game seven against somebody, you know, and
got screwed by a call.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if they're out in six games to Houston,
yeah,
I think this team looks dramatically different.
Yep.
And I think
the organization looks dramatically.
Absolutely. Everybody looks. We're meeting a lot of new faces next October. We're getting some new phone numbers.
Yeah.
So Quick says two of three things happen. Olshay gone, Stotts gone, CJ traded.
Yeah.
You think all three would happen?
I mean, if you get swept in the first round again, I would kind of hope at that point all three would. Stotts is loved in this city. He seems like a great guy. As long as he's not the first on the chopping block, I think fans will be okay with that. If somehow he gets fired before you make a move at general manager, then you're going to have some outrage. But if he is a part of a kind of sweeping change, you know, a cleaning of the house, if you will, in the offseason, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And that's what, if Portland gets swept or loses in the first round again, is exactly what they would be doing for like the third straight year if they bring everything back next year. We know this doesn't work. We've seen it not work a number of times now. What argument could you bring to not make changes? It wouldn't make any sense. It would fall on deaf ears. So I'm all for it. If they don't make any noise in the playoffs, the season will be a failure because they have to get out of the first round for it not to be a failure. And if that's the case, then yes, as an organization, you at some point, if you're failing, you have to make changes.
The weird thing would be is if you fired Neil and you fired Terry, who do you hire as the GM? How does that look for the future because of the ownership questions? And does that GM immediately come in and say, yep, trading CJ? Or does he go, meh?
I would think so, yeah. I think if you brought in a new GM, they would come in with a fresh pair of eyes and say, maybe the nucleus of this roster is not set up to win in the postseason.
Well, I would hope that whoever does come in as the GM, you're looking for a different perspective, that outside perspective of what you think you can get. What can you do with this
roster?
You go
hire David Griffin is what you do. Go get David Griffin, who used to be with the Cavs. LeBron loved him. The Knicks screwed him up. They could have hired him and they screwed it up. He doesn't have a job. You bring him in. You got Damian Lillard to build around. If you can trade CJ, now your cap situation is much different. We know the expiring is going into next year. I just wonder what's the timeline. You know, if they lose in round one in whatever games, what's the timeline look like if you are firing Neil and hiring a new GM?
I'm right.
Because the draft is about a month and a half after that.
Yeah, it's right. And that would be the difficult part of trying to put it all together in a shorter period of time. And if you don't have an acting GM, who runs the draft? There's a lot of questions. And look, maybe they win a first round series and this is a moot point and none of this happens. They keep the group together. And the only time we see moves are next year at the trade deadline. On the Lillard stuff, too, I mean, go listen to the full answer because he talked to Haynes for quite some time. And it was a good podcast. And kind of what I read into that, I've been concerned about some of his comments lately, to be honest with you. Like, he's been brainwashed by the organization.
Just like everything's a great
move. Like, culture is great. Yeah. We got culture, but who needs to win? And but I didn't feel that way necessarily about this podcast. To me, it was more about him sending a message of, I'm not willing to call the shots like some other stars do because of what's at stake for everybody else.
He's not going to meddle. He doesn't want to be the guy labeled responsible for trading CJ McCollum the way LeBron is.
Like, he's not going to go to – like, he went to Paul Allen, I know, last year before Paul passed away and said kind of what's the plan here. But none of it, you know, on his part, in my opinion, was about trying to pull strings of get guys in here or get guys out of here. And so that's kind of what I – it was good to hear him clarify those comments. Like, he says, I want to win a championship, but I'm not willing to sacrifice people and their well-being and getting them traded and demanding stuff from my organization in order to make that happen. He's kind of trusting the process a little bit. And there's a respect factor I have with that. He's not, he doesn't want to go the LeBron route and just essentially be the GM of his team because he has the power if he wanted to do that. I fully believe that if he asked for things to happen, they would happen.
But let me ask you, is that the right approach? Is he taking the right approach with that? I get how great that looks, and we all want to be in this old-timey sports feel of the player just plays hard and stays with the same team and, by golly, works his tail off.
Right, right.
That's not what sports is anymore, and it's still funny that we get those comments on our Facebook page all the time about it. Is that the best approach to truly make the team turn a point? To get in a championship position, is that the best approach to go, I'm hands off. Yeah. I'm not hurting anybody's feelings. I'm just going to play basketball. I love it being in Portland.
Yeah, I wish there was a balance of the two. I wish sometimes he was more aggressive about certain things. And he's been vocal about guys who haven't been re-signed, like Ed Davis, but not to the point of demanding a little bit more. That's where I want to see. I don't want to see him go all in because I think it's difficult for a player to essentially be an acting GM as well. And it doesn't always work when you demand things are won out or
right.
demand for guys to come in or to be signed. Like, a lot of those contracts ended up hurting Cleveland in the short term when they were still trying to win because LeBron wanted to get a lot of his guys paid. So they paid all of them. So I wish there was a balance of the two. I understand his mindset because you don't want to burn any bridges, but I also wish there was more of a sense of urgency of being forceful about kind of questioning where you're going. And you had that last year with the Paul Allen meeting, and you haven't heard much of it since
then. But
it
went nowhere. Even Paul Allen was alive, he wasn't bifurcating. So, I mean, that the playoff sweep last year as a three seed did nothing.
Well, he wanted to, and then he was talked out of it, and then he passed away.
Right. Well, yeah, he was talked out of making the move. He wanted to fire Stotts. He wanted to really shake up the roster, which, in my opinion, probably means he was willing to be open to trading CJ, which is a big thing for a guy who loves the draft and being loyal to who he drafts. But I would almost say, too, to the Dame stuff, it's great that he continues to be loyal. I love that about him. I hope he really stays true to the word and stays here. And I hope we build a winner around it. There is almost no other organization, though, with their current front office that is better at not letting anything get out than Portland's. Really look at the landscape of the league. Neil Olshey, when he wants stuff to leak, it leaks. When he doesn't, you don't know a damn thing. That's why we don't ever know what's going on trade deadlines. Even Woj is his boy. Woj doesn't tweet anything about Portland. He's never mentioned.
Until a move is made.
So if last year, just using an example here, if Dame wanted to go a different route, he could have said, hey, I love CJ. CJ could thrive anywhere else. I think it helps our team. It helps CJ. He could have said that to Neil, and it never would have gotten leaked. And that's why I ask, is that the right approach to the way you go about looking at the organization, especially as a leader? Because I think he does value a lot of different areas about being the face of a franchise. And it's not just on the court. It's off the court. It's the city. It's being a community member.
Yeah.
And that's great. We love that. And we value it in Portland a lot. But if we're just talking Brax tax and how you're winning and championships and contending, et cetera, is the right approach what he is doing? And just backing off and saying, yeah, I'm not going to ask for anything. You guys figure that out. I don't know. All right, we got NFL True or False, a busy weekend of NFL headlines. NFL True or False is next.
Hey, coming up in 10 minutes, what in the world's going on with Antonio Brown? He remains in the news over the weekend. Was the AAF broke after 1 week?
Yeah, this is a...
Let's investigate.
A lot of CBS media types are saying no, and then other news outlets are saying yes, and I'm still not really sure who I'm believing.
We also have a sports analyst being very, very old And we have found the audio of Mike Lynch's response to Manny Machado signing with the Padres.
Yeah, we called him because we were curious, and he was like, hey, I'll give you my 2 cents, because he's the Yankee fan here.
He's the resident Yankee in the building.
So we recorded him on the phone, and we're going to play exactly how he feels about Manny Machado not being a Yankee.
So we'll get to all that coming up in the final hour of the show. Let's get to NFL True or False, though, shall we? What do we got this week, Swag?
Well, we're going to start with Antonio Brown, the disgruntled Steelers receiver. He did meet with team president Art Rooney II today. Both agreed it would be better if he were somewhere else in 2019. Pittsburgh now willing to seek a trade for him. True or false, Mr. Big Chest will have a new home before the NFL's April draft.
Well, didn't we talk to a guy in Pittsburgh that said they had to do this for financial reasons?
There's two dates. I think there's one, like, if they trade him before, you know, whatever.
March 13th or something.
But if they don't trade him before that date, then it's best for them, I believe, to wait until June 1st.
I will say this is true, then. I will say they do this at the draft combine. They work it out. They talk to some teams. And they will have a trade done before April's draft. I do love Mr. Big Chest as a nickname.
You're pro Mr. Big Chest?
Why not? I think he's way out of his mind. And his explanation, somebody tweeted him, what's up with you and Big Ben? And he said, no, it's about respect. Big Ben does and says whatever he wants, and nobody steps up because they don't want to get fired.
He said he has an owner's mentality.
Going a little race there? Or
yeah.
Think he's reaching there?
I will, too, say that this is true. I think now it was so weird. The initial reports, him sending out a tweet, like, we knew he was disgruntled. Then he sends out a tweet. Now he's finally sat down with the Steelers. His agent was apparently there, and they came to an agreement that they're going to find another home for him. And I think you're going to see a team jump at the opportunity to pay him, although he does want more guaranteed money. He wants more money. He just got that deal. Just got it all uploaded in a signing bonus. Guess what? He wants more money. So you got to find a team that has a good draft asset likely to give up in return, and also a team that can handle the salary cap space for him if he wants more money. But I will say that this is true. He gets dealt before the draft.
I'm going to say false. I think it's going to be harder for Pittsburgh to get what they feel is fair market value right away, especially with all the antics that Brown's been working through. There's a lot of quality receivers in the draft. At least at the top this year, I think they might fare better after the draft than a team that wasn't able to land the receiver they were looking for might be willing to fork over more in the future than they can get leading into it. So, leads us to number two.
You want the Cowboys to get him, by the way?
No.
Really?
No.
Amari Cooper, Antonio Brown, Ezekiel Elliott.
I think he's a better fit for the Seahawks, quite frankly. I still think the Seahawks.
You imagine him and Russell?
What if him and OBJ end up in the same spot?
The Niners?
See, I'd rather see OBJ in Dallas. I think that's a much better fit.
I bet you would. He's been torching you guys since he got in the league.
I know. NFL teams can begin using the franchise and transition tags today. Over the last six seasons, there was an average of 6.3 players each year that were franchise tagged. True or false, more than six players will get the franchise tag this offseason.
I'll say true. They follow the trend over six. Who? I don't know exactly. But I'll say that they continue to do this. This is a controversial topic, the franchise tag, but this is what some people think needs to happen in basketball.
It's funny because football players are going to fight to get rid of this in the next CBA.
Football players do not like this.
But I think the reasoning for their argument is the physical demands of the sport, and that one injury can change your career. Not that it can in the NBA. You can tear an ACL. But like, you've seen Paul George bounce back, right, from a devastating injury. So here are some of the candidates to get franchise tag. DeMarcus Lawrence in Dallas.
Yeah, that's a long-rumored one that they're for sure doing that. But
Jadeveon Clowney.
I would do that if I was Houston.
Nick Foles, potentially, and trading him.
Well,
they got to make sure they can do it.
They got to make sure they can clear the loopholes. How about this one in San Francisco? I've seen this a couple of times. Robbie Gould, their kicker.
Yeah, he wants to go maybe elsewhere. It's about family and winning.
And they're like, no, we want you one more year. They might franchise tag a kicker?
He's been really... Chicago was dumb for getting rid of him. He's been really good since he left Chicago.
Frank Clark in Seattle. Dee Ford in Kansas City. Donovan Smith, offensive lineman in Tampa. Grady Jarrett, D-tackle in Atlanta. Landon Collins.
See, most of these guys are guys that I would do it for one more year, and if they produce, I'll give them a contract.
I'll say true. I think, you could get to seven this year.
Yeah, I think true. I think a lot of defensive pass rushers and the occasional offensive linemen, it's a more reasonable sort of value to do that with and give them time to try and work out a long-term deal. ESPN draft expert Mel Kiper Jr. releasing his mock draft 2.0 on Monday, projecting four quarterbacks will be selected in the first round this year. True or false, less than four QBs will be taken in the first round when we get to April's NFL draft.
So Radcliffe, or is it Jones?
I think Jones from Duke.
Haskins, Kyler, and Drew Locke.
And Drew Locke, yeah.
Yeah, teams are so quarterback driven. I'm going to say false. Set it up to go true. I'm going to say false. I think three get taken and one of those guys slips to the second round.
That would
then
be true.
True.
Yeah, less than four.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. True.
I too am going to say true. I know I'm with it because how teams always reach for quarterbacks they shouldn't, especially you get a Paxton Lynch that goes late in the first round. You're like, huh?
But this is good line draft, defense and offensive guys.
And I think you also look at next year's quarterback class. There could be teams that are thinking maybe we should, and then, maybe we'll punt for one more year. So I say this is true. I'm with you. I think there's only three.
Yeah, I think it's true as well. You mentioned there's other positions that are deeper. I don't think there's that many teams that have multiple first-round picks. We know the Raiders do.
Yeah.
There might just be one other one.
I think Locke will be the guy that falls.
Ooh, I think it's going to be the Duke kid.
I think it's Jones. The Duke kid, yeah. Jones.
Locke is on the radar for guys like John Elway. Kyler Murray's going to just wow everybody.
Somebody will take a chance on Kyler Murray.
And Haskins is for sure going to go one of the top spots. I could see the Duke quarterback dropping.
And finally, in that same mock draft, Mel Kiper projecting defensive end Nick Bosa as the number one overall pick to the Arizona Cardinals. True or false, a defensive player will be taken number one overall this April.
I love this one because it's the Kyler Murray rumor, and I'm going to say true. I think they stay true to their word. They keep Josh Rosen. They open everything up to him, and they go Bosa.
I think the only way this doesn't happen is if there's a trade. I know there's been a lot of smoke around Arizona. Do they like Kyler Murray, and should you trade Rosen? It's just hard for me to see them doing that after 1 year. I think it makes more sense to pick a legitimate guy at number one. Now, where this changes is if somebody comes in with one of those, Philly or L.A. offers, and they sell the farm to get to number one, and Arizona's okay moving back a little bit in the first round and stockpiling draft picks for the future. But if they stick there, there's so many talented defensive linemen in this draft. That's where they're going to go. So I'll say that this is true unless of a trade.
Yeah, I believe this is true. I think what Arizona would ask for to move out of the number one spot is more than you're willing to offer up for Kyler Murray. As exciting as he is, there's still a fair amount of risk in the unknown of how he will translate to the NFL. And if they're going to ask for multiple number ones into the future, I don't know that that's worth it to take the risk on Kyler Murray at this point.
And I don't know if it's anybody willing to give that up for Rosen right now. It's not like he looked good last year. And I know we've seen rookies have bad years and good second years, but
if Rosen came out this year as a senior from UCLA, would he go number one? Would he be the number one quarterback above everybody else?
I don't know, because he had all those character flaw things that I thought were BS, and I still think are BS. People raised all these outspoken, he's sitting in hot tubs with hot chicks.
He fights against the man.
Yeah.
People don't like that with
quarterbacks. I think that cost him in last year's draft, and I think it probably would have cost him again this year, which I think is ridiculous. But there you go, NFL true or false every Tuesday at 1:30. Hey, let's stick in the NFL. Mr. Big Chest. What are we making the nickname?
We've got to love that nickname, right?
Do we approve of the Mr. Big Chest nickname?
That's the dumbest thing ever.
55305.
Get over yourself.
Are we going to call Antonio Brown? No longer AB.
You can't not call Mr. Big Chest if you can't outbench him.
He's Mr. Big Chest. We have to look up and see how much he can bench press. What the hell is going on with Antonio Brown? Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Despite having the day off yesterday, still made it into the gym.
Let's go! Nice job!
Nice job.
No, I can't walk today.
You gotta hurry up and get your fat ass down. You got Mexico coming up, bud.
Let's go!
Come on!
Hey, is the AAF already out of money? We investigate coming up at the top of the hour.
I think we're gonna differ on this.
Oh, okay. We have a hot debate on the AAF coming up. Don't change the dial.
Although the fact that this is even a conversation into week two of their first season is it's quite interesting.
We have some fun with audio coming up at 2:15, and I promise you're going to want to hear all that. So that's coming up in the next half hour. Antonio Brown has been in the news a lot lately, and that continued over the weekend. Started with him doing a Q&A. Do you see that where he threw out on Twitter, "I'll eat anything you want, honesty and everything"?
I did see this, yeah.
So he answered a couple of questions on Twitter. One of them was about Ben Roethlisberger. He said he's still got respect for him, but he has an owner's mentality for calling out players and coaches. He also said that Mike Tomlin told the team that Brown quit in week 17. He didn't quit. He said he was hurt, which is why he apparently wasn't answering phone calls or text messages from anybody inside the organization. So that happened. Then came a meeting with the Steelers, and he sat down with Mr. Rooney today, and he decided to post it on Twitter. I like that he dressed up for the occasion wearing a sweatsuit. He had on Twitter saying, "Had a great meeting with Mr. Rooney today. We discussed a lot of things. We cleared the air on several issues. We both agreed that it is time to move on, but I'll always have appreciation and gratitude towards the Rooney family and the Steelers organization. Hashtag call God, hashtag booming." I don't know what that means, but he's hashtag booming out there.
He's booming, baby.
He's booming. He's
roasted.
So Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, was also there, and the Steelers GM, Kevin Colbert, was there as well. So they sat down afterwards. Looks like all signs are pointing to eventually a trade happening. And he had this to say. He went on Instagram after that meeting, and he said this, quote, "If your squad out there and want to win, and your squad want a hungry wide receiver who's the best in the whole world, someone hit my phone. Tell him I ain't doing no unguarantees. I ain't even going to play myself no more for this NFL. You heard."
Yeah.
So he wants out.
Yes, you will. You want the money. You will play again.
He wants out. He has base salaries of 12, 11, and 12 in the next 3 years, all under contract, none of which is guaranteed outside of roster bonuses. Guaranteed money. Mr. Big Chest, new nickname. Antonio Brown looks like he's splitting up soon with the Steelers.
Look, and people are texting in different nicknames that would be funnier than Mr. Big Chest. Here's why I find it funny. Not the actual name itself. It's more just he jumped on and just proclaimed himself Mr. Big Chest. That in the category of what the living hell are you talking about? That's a great nickname.
Mr. Big Chest.
I would not trade for this guy. This is going to come back to either bite me or I'm going to look like a damn genius. If we're going in the wide receiver trade market, tell me what OBJ wants. I would rather take my chances on a guy that'll punch a net and maybe vacation on a yacht a week before a playoff game and hope that he learned from those than a guy like what Antonio Brown has become. And by the way, it's probably been this way for 2 years. It's just now really all coming out. Hey, this is who I am and this is how I act. I wouldn't want to deal with it. It's not worth the headache, especially when you talk big money. I'm paying Odell Beckham Jr. I thought he was pretty good this year. His quarterback sucks, has sucked, and yet he's going out there anyway and putting up decent numbers.
He didn't propose to any goalposts.
No,
so that's...
He didn't have a lot of crazy moments this year. And he could be the guy that it matures, it takes time. He realizes as he's older and the more it goes along. Antonio Brown, I'm out on. I just... No thanks. I don't care if Jerry Rice endorses him. Not worth the headache. He had the domestic dispute with his girlfriend or his fiance.
Something like that, yeah.
And nothing really has come of that I've seen thus far, but you had that. You had the speeding problem. You have the locker room problem. You have the social media problem, which it is a problem. He's on social media far too much. I'm out. No thanks. He's a great player. I think he has tremendous talent, and I wouldn't be shocked if he helped a team and he was really good again, but I'm out.
You also added in the fact that he's 31 years old, turns 31 in July. So you have 3 more years left of him under contract. He's going to be 34 by the time that deal runs out. And there's a shelf life on how long receivers, especially who are athletic as him, that's what makes him special, is just his speed, his ability to break away. Like, eventually you start to lose a step. Now, does it happen in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? I don't know. But that's always something you have to keep in mind just simply with his age. I'm kind of with you on that. And it would all be dependent on, A, what do I have in place with my organization right now? And B, what are they asking for in a trade? Like, how much are the Steelers expecting to get back for a guy who has proven to be a cancer in the locker room?
First round pick is the minimum talk, right?
Right. But who knows if they end up getting that? Does it eventually slip? Does the market deteriorate? And especially now, I think it's one thing if you're going to trade for him, because financially, the deal at $12, $11, and $12 million respectively in the next 3 years isn't terrible at all. Like, you look at going rates for wide receivers at his skill level in the NFL, that's relatively cheap. But now that he's coming out and making demands that he wants every penny to be guaranteed and he's not going to play or sign anywhere or want to go anywhere that doesn't give him that guaranteed money, it just creates a whole nother set of headaches. So I'm with you. I think the worst thing to happen to Antonio Brown this offseason has not only been his terrible nickname and his blonde mustache, which make absolutely no sense, but also the rumors that the Giants could be looking to trade Odell Beckham. Because he was a little bit quieter last year, the headaches haven't been quite as severe with him as they've been with Antonio Brown. He's younger, and I think a lot of people would argue a similar level of player on the field. So if you're going to make a big-time play and a big-time trade for a wide receiver on the open market this summer, it's going to be Odell Beckham, not Antonio Brown.
See, somebody said Odell makes an average of 18 a year, worth it over the 12 and a half. I wholeheartedly believe it is, because I think he is just as talented. And again, going back to what the season was, what was the huge thing Odell had this year? Was there one? Am
he had
I forgetting?
The sit down early in the season with Josina Anderson, I believe, saying, maybe I should be in LA.
The non-committal comment about
New York. Just signed the contract. What the hell are you doing?
That was it. I mean,
he's 26 too. There's 5 years younger than Antonio Brown.
A big difference. I would much rather take Odell's contract than Antonio. I just don't know what I'm getting. Antonio's 31. Like, we had Steve Hartman on earlier, and I thought he had a really funny point of, you know, what were you like at 26? And a lot, some listeners out there are 26 or even younger. And I'm not really that far removed from that, but I do know what I was like at 26 versus where I'm at now. And even though that's only over a handful of years, there's a big difference in life when you go from 26 to 30. Odell seems like he's going the right way. Antonio seems like he's getting more immature. That's
concerning.
That's not a direction you want for a 31-year-old wide receiver with wear and tear.
That's concerning. And by the way, who thinks they can pull off a blonde mustache? Well, I mean, that's just, come on.
I don't know, man. That's an interesting look he's going for. It's got to be working for him. Why else is he doing it?
That should be his nickname, Blonde Stash.
Blonde Stash.
Instead of Mr. Big Chest.
I think Mr. Big Chest is far superior to Mr. Blonde Stash.
Mr. Blonde Stash, baby. So Antonio Brown's got a blonde stash. He's meeting with the Steelers. He's proclaimed himself Mr. Big Chest. And
the Yellow Ride.
The Yellow Ride. I'm on board with that. Hey, Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 a month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Coming up in the final hour, you'll hear an old guy yell about people having fun, which is always enjoyable audio. We have Mike Lynch's response to the Manny Machado signing by the San Diego Padres. He's not a Yankee. How does Mike feel about this? You'll hear from that.
Somebody said Hulk Hogan. Only person that can pull the yellow mustache.
Valid point, but that was even a handlebar. It wasn't just the stash. Yeah. He had the full. I don't think Antonio Brown has the full handlebar. What else we got? We got to answer the poll questions coming up. And we'll start, though. Is the AAF already out of money? Conflicting reports on a Monday. Start with the final hour there. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.